Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are on the 20th already of June, wrapping up the month.
Yep, lots of good things happening. You like that artwork for tonight?
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Well, we have a lot of interesting things to talk about. I had a wonderful weekend, smoked some ribs. Some people in the chat room actually talking about it now. They heard me talking about it on thedisciplinedinvestor.com. I used, you smoke meat, right?
Oh, yeah.
So I used these Jack Daniels.
It's oak.
Yeah, it was Jack Daniels.
Oak charcoal.
No, it wasn't charcoal. It's wood.
Well, you didn't get the oak charcoal?
No, I used...
It's actually wood. It's actually chopped up wood from the barrels.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
It'd be great.
Yeah, it's good stuff. So
oak is just a dynamite thing to cook with. Ribs should be cooked over oak.
I did... I have both a traditional kind of smoker with a little bit of propane where it just heats it up so the smoke goes and it just takes a lot of smoke and a lot of smoke escapes from it. But then I have this new electric smoker, this big giant one. That kind of works pretty cool, but it's got to keep on top of either one of them. Nothing's easy when it comes to smoking.
How long do you smoke your ribs?
I smoked them for about 4 hours plus at about 225. And then afterwards, put a little bit of a, first of all, 2 hours, smoked them, took them out, wrapped them in tin foil to seal them, smoked them for another 2 hours, then took them out, cooled them off a little bit, then slapped on a little bit of Carolina, like a mustard kind of tart sauce, and then put them on the grill for about 10 minutes. So anyway, let me tell you about what's going on with markets. Dow Jones Industrials making all-time highs. Came off a little bit today. Tech stocks wavering on the ramp higher as Apple regained some of its recent momentum. There was some big loss, about 8% or so, that was kind of taken off of, I guess, 7 or 8% taken off of Apple. And last few weeks, we saw some slow down in Google and Netflix and all these guys. But clearly the biggest news, which we'll talk about in a bit, is this whole Amazon buying Whole Foods, which is putting some serious pressure on the grocery stores and the food retailers. Pretty amazing. But I wanted to start with something I thought was really fascinating. So you know this about bonds, that, you know, when do people want bonds? They want to buy it in times that for a safety trade, right? That's one.
Mm-hmm.
They want to buy it for yield. For portfolio allocation, et cetera. Well, one of the things you also know is that as a country is doing better economically, bond yield should actually go up. And if the Fed is behind a rate hike regimen, bond yield should go up. And if the Fed has been in a quantitative easing program and they say, hey, you know what, we're going to start unwinding our balance sheet, you would think rates would start going up. All those things, right?
Technically and in the past, yes.
Yeah, right, in the past when there was normal times. If you want to look, though, at what's going on, we have a chart of the U.S. bond yield curve that is on DH Unplugged. You can see all these charts in the show notes on DH Unplugged. This is episode number 366. And what's happening is kind of fascinating. If you see, this is a comparison of bond yields over time from the 1 month through the 30-year.
Right.
And what you notice is, first of all, a flattening of the curve where the short end has recently come up, but the long end has really not gone up as much.
Yes, I see that. And no, in fact, it's lower. It's 275. I would like to see a chart like this, only not so condensed. In other words, I wouldn't mind seeing some 2006 data.
Oh, all the way, what it was in 2006? Oh, yeah. Yes. Well, back then it was way up to, it would be off the axis on this chart.
Yeah, that's what I would like to look at.
It would be definitely off the axis. But what's fascinating is that the short end is coming up a little bit because the Fed is pushing on it, meaning that short-term rates are rising. Long-term rates aren't. And it's like this, for banks in particular, when you have a situation like this, that means that their input costs, so they are actually lending out at the same rate, but they're paying their depositors slightly more. because they pay on the short end of the curve. So their margins are getting squeezed, and that's why some of the banks have been struggling for a while here. But I don't understand this, to be honest with you. Can you explain any of this to me? Why this is happening? Why, again, even today when we hit close to an all-time record, unemployment at 4.3%, we have all these wonderful things supposedly happening. Why is it that the bond yields, I think the 10-year is, again, sub 220? What's going on?
You think it should be higher?
It should be higher. I mean, I have one explanation, but it's simple. It's that there is negative interest rates in the other two majors, so Eurozone and in Japan, you have negative rates. So everybody's like, well, if they're going to be negative rates, I'm going to pull my money out of there.
Yeah, put it here.
Put it over here. You know, it's safer, it's better, and I'll get a better yield. I'll short those bonds and I'll get them over here. I mean, I don't know. Seems
that's the only thing I can think of.
I don't know what the only other thing is. There is one other crazy theory, and that is that the bond investors, bond players, have always been known to be smarter than the equity players. And maybe
When did this theory?
Always.
That always been the case.
Been the case. Yep. You want to bet on the equity guys, the bond guys, knowing what's going on with a company or knowing what's going on in an economy, always bet on the bond players. They do a lot more research to understand the credit worthiness of a company or a country. They do a much deeper dive into the research.
And so what are these curves telling us what does it say about the market overall?
That's saying something is amiss. Something is not right. Something is lurking around the corner, maybe. That's the only other possibility. That, you know, that the economy is going to slow down. The Fed's going to stop raising rates, maybe even back rates up a bit. Maybe there's some big disaster going on because there's a flush towards bonds and people are buying. I mean, they're buying a tremendous amount. It was the 10-year was cut dramatically today again. And it was, and the whole yield curve was cut today. So that it could be, if you want to go along that thesis, that the bond players are saying, you know what? There's something around the corner going to happen, something that they're seeing. I'm not saying that's...
Yeah, the problem is that if that something around the corner that's going to happen is a collapse of the bond market, I don't think that'll be the great irony of our time.
Yeah, it would be terrible, unbelievable, but it could be the collapse of a stock market. I'm not suggesting this is going to happen. I'm just saying what it could be that they're thinking. But something is definitely not right.
I agree with you. I think the bond prices themselves is out of whack.
Yeah.
No matter how smart these guys are. In fact, no matter how smart anybody is, markets collapse.
And if nothing else, and this goes along right with your theory is everything cycles. I mean, if we don't know anything about anything, the fact is everything cycles.
Yes, it does.
It may happen on a shorter term. You know, maybe a 5-year, an 8-year, or 10-year, but everything comes around. Well, you want to talk a little bit about Amazon? Because a lot to talk about here.
Yeah, I do actually. And I would think that is like not being mentioned. And I think investors in particular should pay at least some attention to this possibility. Jeff Bezos owns the Washington Post, and there's no newspaper that's giving Trump a worse time of it.
Yeah.
With, I think, a lot of made up stories. This thing hasn't been cleared by the government, antitrust people. I think that the Trump administration could step in and kill this deal. And nobody's even suggesting that possibility.
So on what grounds? Is antitrust what? Because they're going to have...
Well, Amazon's already doing these things. I think you can dream up any grounds if you want. If you're talking about a $13.7 billion deal. If you really got down to it and you really want, I mean, it's not in Trump's style to do that, but I'm saying if you're going to do a $13.7 massive deal like this, and there's already kind of a mess in the retail space, I think you could find a way to say no.
Yeah, well, there is already a story that I did see a hint of this evening that they're talking about, is it time to break up Amazon? You know, is it time to break them up? Now, I don't know how you break them up. What do you do? Do you break up their entertainment business and separate that from their grocery business now? Separate that from their electronics business? How does that work?
I don't know. There's a lot of companies that could be. I always thought Microsoft was a good company to break up, and it would make sense.
But what do you break up of these guys? It's not like
– with Microsoft, I could tell you a lot of different ways. But with Amazon, I agree with you. I don't know how you could break it up unless – I have no idea.
Well, put some thought into that because I don't really understand. I could see maybe breaking out the entertainment division, possibly. But that's not a and then breaking out their cloud and their technology division.
Now, the cloud business could be spun off.
That could be spun off, right?
Yeah, easily.
But again, then what? They still own the whole deal. Yeah, it's still owned by the same people. You just spin it off. But then possibly police it better. Right? You know, who's going to be competing against who, I guess, in this. But here's the story, just to kind of give you the back story on all this. Amazon is buying Whole Foods Market, a struggling grocery and fresh food retailer, for $13.7 billion, about $13.4 billion in cash, and the rest in a mix, I think, of stock and some other stuff.
How struggling are they?
They're struggling. Look at their stock chart. It really got hit for some time. There was a whole bunch of things that went on. Overpricing concerns that happened in New York. Margins were squeezed.
It's an overpriced operation.
Yeah, they got activist investors in there trying to right the ship, fighting with management. But what was interesting was this news came out the first thing Monday morning, and I had to do a double take on that. I said, well, you know, at first I'm thinking, oh, what is that about? Then I started thinking about it. God, that's kind of interesting. Here's what happened, though. Companies that competed with Amazon or that competed in the space of Whole Foods got obliterated. Companies like Target and Walmart were down like 5 to 8% on the news. Kroger, United National Foods, Sprout Farmers Market got hit. United Natural Foods was down 22% on the news and then kind of climbed its way back a bit. Kroger was down like 11% after it was down 20% the day before on light earnings news. Anywhere from 10 to 20 something percent, this whole sector got hit. And there was a big question, is this an overreaction? I don't know. Nope. I mean, now what does Amazon have? Let's just kind of go through this. Let's kind of free think this. What does Amazon have? They have 470 stores. Approximately 90% of their stores are within 10 miles of all their Prime members. Now you have, honey, I'm going to go pick up that Amazon package, something I just ordered, and I'll get you some avocados and quinoa while I'm at it. Or maybe.
I'll get you some quinoa.
I'll get you some of that.
I'll get you some of that quinoa.
I got that quinoa and that farm.
We'll cook it up.
That farm-raised trout. What about maybe, well, you know, honey, I don't want to do that. You know, I need you to watch the baby. Okay, I'll have it delivered then. Now they have also the ability, which has been a very difficult thing back from the days of, dare I say, Peapod, that it's been tough for companies to deliver groceries and make a profit at it.
Webvan's another one.
Yeah, I loved them when they were there, didn't you?
No.
Oh, you didn't?
No, I mean, I didn't. I didn't mind them being floating around, but I didn't love them. I mean, I like to shop. I don't mind going to the store. I don't get it when people say, oh God, anything but going to the grocery store. Well, obviously you don't like to cook or eat.
I do like going to the grocery store because when I'm there, I actually stop and look around and think up the things that I'm going to put in a recipe.
Yeah, because you're there, you see what's fresh.
Right.
You see what's appealing, something maybe on sale. There's a lot of reasons to go, but I've seen people talk about this, and one of them was on CNBC going on and on about how great this is going to be because she won't have to go to the store again. She hates going to the grocery store.
What,
not as though you have to go every day.
Why did you enunciate she?
I wanted to make it clear that women are the ones complaining the most about this. Men either don't go to the grocery store ever because they're not interested in cooking or eating.
Wait a minute. Now, you're slamming women?
It's
they don't
a
like
sexist, to- it was a sexist
okay,
comment.
Okay, yeah.
Just make sure. I know you're trying to point that out. And okay, I made it sexist. Because it was a she.
I want to make sure. It wasn't the she as in the, you know, when you say he or they, it wasn't just, but it was definitely a she. So here's the thing. They're also talking about possibly getting into the pharmacy business. That's been spinning some heads recently. As a matter of fact, this whole Walgreens for Rite Aid deal that's kind of been going back and forth and issues with that. They're saying now that there's some talk about if the Walgreens Rite Aid deal falls apart, that Amazon may step in and buy Rite Aid. I mean, he could be hitting hard.
That would.
I mean, why not? Delivery of pharmaceuticals. Why not? And have them right at your...
You know, these guys are biting off. They're biting. They're taking too big a bite here.
There's more. I have more. I have a lot more. I have a lot more. If all this wasn't enough... And by the way, I think it's...
It's insanity. Now, Bezos, by the way, I should just mention as an aside, besides being a Donald Trump number one hater, he's approaching, and he just might make it by next year, the richest man in the world status.
He's number three right now.
And he's moving up.
And by the way, Amazon stock went up about $12 billion on this news, enough to already buy Whole Foods. So it was a free deal for them.
Yeah, it's funny.
And I think it's a very interesting. I think it can be a very, if they could do this, I think it's going to be a very interesting proposition. We'll see if they're going to try to put in, don't forget, those no checkout counter stores. Now you can just buy your stuff and walk out. And it's somehow, you know, I guess you have RF scanners on your tomatoes. I don't know.
You know, chip you.
Yeah. Now, if this wasn't enough, if this wasn't, okay, they're taking over the retail and they're taking over.
And CVS or Walgreens or whoever it is, you also think that's going to be up for grabs by Amazon.
If, in fact, it falls through, maybe, yes, I think it can be. So now, what's the next thing? Today, Amazon announces Prime Wardrobe, or as they call it, try before you buy.
Well, now, don't you do that when you go to most stores that sell clothes? They have the dressing rooms. Sure you try.
Absolutely.
Before you buy. So how's that new?
Because you're going to get this package, let's say, of three or four different items that you buy shipped to you, no charge if you're a Prime member, and no charge for the actual merchandise until such time you decide that you like it. You'll get a box that says Amazon Wardrobe delivered to your house with, let's say, I think you have to have at least three items in it, I think. And you have three items, so you get maybe three different sizes and a couple different styles of a shirt or, you know, some underwear or she will get bras or whatever it is, okay? And now what happens is that you get this box, kind of like the Prime Pantry in a way, where you have to put multiple things in a box. And then what you do is you have 7 days until you can return them. And if you don't like them, you put them in the box, you turn the thing upside down, and it's a self-sealing and already printed return, and RMA is on there already. So you just close it up and supposedly leave it at your doorstep, and somebody comes by and picks it up. If, in fact, you decide to keep them, all of them, or part of them, well, you'll get a 10% discount on the price if you keep three or four items, and you get a 20% discount if you keep five or more items. No fee for Prime members, and shipping and returns are free.
Yeah, this has got to be an incredible and massive loss of money.
Yeah, possibly. It's going to be a lot of stuff going on. I put on the website, you don't have to watch this now, the Introducing Prime Wardrobe YouTube official video. It's about a minute video, minute and a half or something like that. You can watch that right on DH Unplugged.
What is the point of this? What do they want to do? I mean, Zappos, they bought them. That's the shoe company. There's a similar thing.
Yep.
And by the way, I've never bought from them, and I'll tell you why if you want to know.
I do.
I don't like – I have enough trouble shipping products back to you know, vendors who are sending it over here. Hey, check this out. I'm not a shipping department. I'm a guy who does these podcasts. I do writing. I don't do shipping. I don't have a shipping bench. I don't have a place to wrap this stuff. I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to collect a bunch of shoes and then have to ship it back. I'm absolutely convinced that the idea is they're hoping you never ship it back and then you get charged for it. But, if I'm going to try a bunch of shoes, I've gone to stores to buy shoes. The first shoe never fits.
Yeah.
So this is not going to fit. So I'll be a shipping department shipping stuff. Well, I don't like it.
Well, maybe they have a box. What if the box was so convenient that it was
There's no easy. Such thing.
What if it was? What, I mean, think crazy for a second. What if it was? Easy box.
Try the shoe. Okay, I got the box. Oh, the shoe comes in this box. Okay, great. I pull the shoes out. I have to cut the box open, hopefully not wrecking the box.
Okay.
And then I cut the box. Oh, I got the shoes. These shoes aren't even close. They don't fit. They're tight. They're uncomfortable when you walk in them. I don't like them on. They're not even pretty. I'm getting rid of them. So I shoved the shoes back in the box like I would at a shoe store. But at a shoe store, I just...
Yeah, who cares? They'll take care of it.
Yeah, I don't care. But now I got to seal the box with this self-sealing, whatever the mechanism is, and then take the box, and then I have to probably call somebody or do some extra work.
All right, so I get it. All right, so shoes are not for you there, but let me tell you a couple
neither
of things.
Clothes.
Well, their premise
yes,
on
I suppose
this.
If I lived in Arkansas in the Ozarks where there wasn't a Walmart, I'd probably buy clothes this way.
Well, the video itself is the whole premise of the video and why they're saying is, you know what, listen to this. You'll watch the video in your own time, but try clothes on in your own house, in your own lighting, with your own mirrors, with your own other accessories to see how it looks with it and try it on with different, it's this whole idea of trying
generally
it on.
When I'm wearing clothes, I'm wearing them outside, not in my environment in the house. I wear clothes in the house too, obviously, but
we hope
it's not, I'm not trying to impress anybody in the house.
I am not the one putting this product out. I'm just telling you, here's what the point is of all this, though. Yeah. Now, this has become like a little bit of an evil empire. The Amazon is going after, things like, I won't even talk about the AWS. That was an invention of theirs. They're the ones that started that whole thing, and give them credits and all the kudos for that. But, they're going after, obviously, the retail space pretty hard, and they did it in a way that undercut a lot of places. And for their own benefit, fine, that's what they do. They put the bookstores out of business. Notch one on their belt for that. It looks like they're going to put some of the big box retailers somewhat out of business. They look like they're going to put possibly grocers in a bad way. And now, again, this is another hit back to the big box retailers, which, by the way, today on this news... JCPenney was down another 3%. We saw that Shoes, which is a shoe store kind of thing, down 2.5%. Dillard's down 2%. Kohl's down 1.5%. Macy's down 1%. Macy's was like $70 not too long ago. It's $21. That's amazing.
Yeah, Macy's really took it. Yeah, Macy's got other issues. I mean,
yeah.
Macy's does centralized buy. I've said this before. Mm-hmm.
I know. I went to Dillard's.
I like to buy wool suits in Florida because they have centralized buying in New York, and nobody in Florida is going to buy these suits, so they're always on sale down there.
Absolutely. Bathing suits in the Ozark.
Right? Here's another one. Yeah, you go buy your bathing suits up in Minnesota. Yeah,
exactly.
In the winter.
I recently was in Dillard's last weekend. I wanted to buy a couple pair of slacks, and I got to tell you something. It was me and Irving, the salesman. And I'm looking around. I'm like, all right, man, it's a little early. Maybe it was like 10:30 in the morning. Not many people here. I go to another department. There's another Irving or an Irving lookalike, trying. And this guy told me, I said, you know what? I've been working with the other guy. I'd like to take my, I'm just grabbing some socks and a shirt. He goes, no. You can't take that over to him. I have to ring it up over here. I'm like, why? Because that's a different area.
That's not true in any of these stores.
I know. I was like, really? Oh, okay. So I let the guy ring it up.
So he's nicking his compatriots' business.
Right. So I let him ring it up and went back to the original Irving. I said, hey, Irving, I would have given you the business, but that guy said I couldn't.
Yeah. Troublemaker.
Yep.
That's what you are.
All right. On to some other serious items.
By the way, these stores have been empty and miserable for more years than you can count. It's just that there's something else wrong that's going on with these stores. They do a good business. They do everything in 1 month, from Thanksgiving to the end of Christmas. And then they're just seem to be abandoned most of the time.
Yeah. They also, they all have the same people that are obviously running their layouts. Like, for example, I bought a pair of slacks in the men's department. Then I walked over to the other area, there was a whole bunch of other slacks. I'm like, wait a minute. I thought all the slacks should have been together. Why aren't they together? They're not together. So I was like, maybe I should have bought these instead. But anyway, let's talk about some other financial matters. Steven Mnuchin, U.S. Treasury Secretary, today talked about seriously considering issuing ultra-long bonds for U.S. Whoa. Treasuries. Yeah, 50 to 100-year bonds. That's what we need. More bonds issued. More debt.
That's a good one.
Yep, more bonds, more debt.
This is like the thing you pointed out. Maybe this is a trend. It's a societal trend. You were talking about cars with, I think, 8-year or whatever ridiculous terms.
And now
they're cheap.
Yeah, you get them for this. I mean, people hold on to it, and you know, but ultra-long bonds, the potential for an arbitrage off a short to a long on those things. I mean, 100-year bonds, they look like the days of war. Remember the war bonds? Those were 50-year bonds. You bought that to support your company.
They were? I didn't know that.
Yeah, many of the war bonds were like 50-year bonds.
Wow.
Back in the day. But, you know, this is just, again, you know, just once again, if everything is fine, everything is just fine, why are we doing this?
Yeah.
You know? In China, there was a big story tonight. China's mainland shares were finally added to the MSCI Emerging Markets Index after a few postponements, and they got Asia got a lift on that. You know, there was a big problem with actually ownership of these shares for people outside of China. And there was, three different times that it came up for votes through MSCI, and it was declined. And now it came up because the Hong Kong exchange and the pass-through exchange they have over there, the Connect, is working better, and they can actually do this. But somehow there was one little part of the story that went under the undertone and didn't really get discussed, was it's being phased in two parts to make sure this will work. Because there's a potential that they won't be able to handle the flow. So now the MSCI Emerging Market Index is significantly overweighted in Asia. Whereas for a long time it was Latin America. Asia was a big part of it, but now I think it's going to be close to like 60-something percent Asia.
Well, it makes sense if you consider the amount of companies they have. Mm.
Argentina was actually, there was a reversal of some vote there, and Argentina shares got whacked overnight, you know, the futures and the ADRs. A couple of restaurant stories that were interesting. I didn't put this one down on the list. Again, you can go over to DH Unplugged and check all this out, but Chipotle came out. You know, they've been struggling. Another place that's like a Dillard's ghost town, but for the most part in a restaurant space, came out with an interim update on their earnings, and it was ugly, and they were down like 8% today. So I guess people, you hate that place anyway. You think they're substandard.
Well, I'm not the only one that hates that place. I don't hate it per se. I just don't understand why, especially in places like the San Francisco Bay Area, where there are genuine Mexican-owned taco places, why would you go to a place like Chipotle? It just doesn't make any sense to me. You know, besides the fact that it's cultural appropriation, they should be picketed.
Cultural appropriation?
Yeah, it's
what is that?
That's where you steal somebody else's idea.
Who would they steal? The Mexicans?
Yeah.
Oh. But that was done with El Torito and Taco Bell years before.
Yeah, they should all be busted.
Do you think that if we close down the relationship with Mexico, that we'd have to also...
Hey, I'm not a big fan of this idea, this cultural appropriation. It's kind of a joke. So I don't want to answer a lot of hypotheticals about it because it's dumb. But I'm just saying that it seems to me that these places are ripe for protest.
And by the way, speaking of things that you're not a big fan of and all that, we went back and forth, and I mentioned, I think, in an email to you, a new show that was on Fox called The Next Revolution with Steve Hilton as the host.
Unbelievable.
And
worst
I said,
show ever.
And I said to you, I need you to do me a favor. Look at this, because is there something wrong with me? I watched a few minutes. I was repulsed. I thought the guy's
not professional. He's an unprofessional political hack from the UK. I don't know what he did to talk himself into this job, but he's obviously fantastic at sales.
Yeah, but doesn't he have like a bit of a Chevy Chase kind of aura about him, where he seems very uncomfortable or something up there, and just doesn't have the words and the questions.
He's never done. It looks to me as though he's never done this sort of television. And when confronted again, this teleprompter base, so he has to look at a teleprompter, which he, believe me, takes a number of years before you get adept at even reading it. You know, so you sound like yourself. Although there are naturals out there, but he's not one of them. And so he's reading, and it's like, you know, it's like terrible. The show stinks. Hmm. So it's not you.
Yeah. Anyway, let's continue the discussion about restaurants for a moment. I was thinking you and I can go into the restaurant business. We can finally do that. you know, you like cooking. I like cooking. Buffalo Wild Wings is now offering for sale certain of its company-owned restaurants, which comes as a part of the company's previously announced portfolio optimization process, end quote. Now, let me tell you how I actually read this. Oh my God, we're bleeding. Okay.
Sell assets.
Let's make it look like we're going to franchise this whole deal out because we're going to sell some of our company-owned restaurants because they're doing so well, right? And we're going to sell them and bring money into the company and let everybody participate in the beautiful nature of the, you know, we're going to share the wealth.
Yeah, the wing business.
The wing business. Buffalo Wild Wings. Sorry. That's just,
I think we got a short here to look at.
Yeah, you have to just read between the lines, it looks like to me, you know? Blue Apron, which I think we mentioned, this is the place that sends you, this is for the people who really want to cook in style, but for whatever reason, I never understood this because my wife comes home with items from the store and she says, cook something. And I feel like I'm on that show Chopped. You know that show Chopped? Where I'm like, let me look. Oh, I have duck eggs.
Believe me, there's not much you can do with those unless you're going to bake a cake.
I have rhubarb. I have Marmite, and I have cured and I have cured bacon. You know,
what I mean? Yeah, you can make some Australian dish.
You know, so but Blue Apron basically for some fee you get a recipe, you get already pre-portioned items. You take them in the order, you put them together, and you make these beautiful meals.
Well, Adam Curry. Mm-hmm. Of the No Agenda show.
Yeah, of the famed No Agenda show, yes.
He it may not be Blue Apron, but there's about five or six of these companies that do this. And so he was all jacked up about it. And he makes – other people have said this too. They make the claim that it's actually cheaper than if you went out and got all the items. And it is well thought out. But then I forgot what it was. There's one thing in particular they started doing. It was like he was all jacked up about this. Oh, this is fantastic. I said, I can cook myself. I don't need this sort of thing. Oh, you should check it out. And then it was like for about a week or two, then all of a sudden he noticed that they were doing some annoying kale dish or something. They kept doing something that he didn't want. Oh. And they kept doing it over and over. And then pretty soon you say, well, you know, there's only a limited number of things that you could cook or that you could dream up, package in one of these boxes, get the fresh ingredients for, and then get it out there. There's only so many of those things you can do. And then problem number two, at least in my mind, is scalability. Mm. I mean, how many of these things can you do before you just run it? You can't do that many. It's just, you know, you can't. How many filet mignons can you get into a place to make a special little dish? I just never thought this was going to go anywhere. You know, these guys IPO'd.
They're going to IPO. It's about a $3 billion valuation already. There's a lot of talk about how this Amazon Whole Food thing is going to hurt the company and had to knock down potentially the price of the IPO.
I don't see that.
Company's not profitable. They're bleeding money left and right. You know what this reminds me of, though? Back in the day when I used to go to bar mitzvahs and weddings and quinceas and all this stuff, people would, you know, the music would come on. And people would dance. Not everybody could dance well, but people would be up there shaking a little bit and bouncing and whatever they do, okay? Trying to keep to the beat and all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden this line dancing came and the dancers came. And all you do is stand up there and follow along like an idiot.
Yeah.
Okay? This is like the same thing for cooking. Nobody can do their own thing anymore. You just got to follow along what they say. And now I think I'm a chef. Yeah, I made the most amazing meal the other night, man. What'd you do? I got this Blue Apron package in, and I just followed the directions, and it was delicious. Brilliant.
You know? The fact that they're losing money is, to me, is a good sign for the consumer. So Adam might have been right about the fact that it's cheaper than actually going and putting this dish together by yourself. But I don't see this as a law, has any viability whatsoever. And one of these, I don't know which company first started doing this. I know there's a bunch of them doing it. It's a millennial idea, it seems to me. I think it's as dumb or dumber than Webvan and all the food delivery things that Amazon's returning to, which I think is bad. I just see all these things as negative. This company after its IPO, I think is going to be a great long-term short. There is no way, unless, of course, in the middle of, you know, the year, they say, well, you know what, while we're doing this, we should do this, or we should get a drug delivery company or something, or we're going to get into marijuana.
That'd be great.
Then I'd pull the short.
Yeah, no, you get your app. We're going to send you a couple of spleefs and dinner at the same time. Make sure to get the dinner getting going.
A lot of this. Then they can drop down to the simple peanut butter and jelly sandwich and drop in some
egg, tomato, and cheese. Anything that tastes
some
good.
Edibles, right? Some spaghetti.
Open the can, pour it out, put it in the microwave for 2 minutes, and eat it. But who's the big winner on all this? Well, it obviously is FedEx. Beat by a mile tonight. It came out with earnings. 37 cent per share beat and a nice revenue number. I was thinking maybe they'll actually cut down on express shipping costs because they have so much money they made.
Yeah, sure. Dream on.
Mm-hmm. Stock at an all-time high after hours. Adobe beats and the stock is, you guessed it, at an all-time high after hours. Red Hat, the Linux. One of the fascinating things was, now this is a brilliant company. A company that can take an open source free item, charge for it, create an entire service around it, and make billions of dollars doing it.
It was astonishing. I met the CEO of the startup, the guy who started that company some years ago. I think he was on one of my shows. And it's brilliant. You're right. This is, I mean, because I always thinking, well, you know, whatever, it's free. You know, you can go download a copy of Linux. What do you need these guys for? But how wrong can I be? This guy was a genius.
Yeah. Well, that stock is at an all-time high also. Now, on the other end of the spectrum is Snap. Now, I thought I have to dig into this company, and in full disclosure, Horowitz and Company clients are short shares of Snap. And Snap was all of a sudden yesterday started moving higher. Well, first of all, let me give you a little bit of backstory here. Snap opened up, its IPO came out public at 17, it went to 29, backed off a little bit, went up a little bit, came down. And then last week, it hit 17 on the nose again. Right when that happened, you saw a little bit of buying come in. Somebody, which was one of the, you know, they brought somebody out of like from the grave, like an old original Yahoo guy. I don't even know who the Yahoo guys are anymore. But an old original, Facebook had the same problem in the beginning. You know, they were losing subscribers on the, you know, growth and all this. And look what happened. And Snap seems to me the same kind of deal. So the stock ran up about 2% from there. Then this story comes out yesterday. And it says that the Wall Street Journal was suggesting, and then it was proven to be the fact, that Time Warner and Snap have signed an advertisement deal for up to 10. This is unbelievable, by the way. I still can't get my hands around this thing. A deal for up to 10 original shows per year with a $100 million payment over 10 years, which sounds like a lot, but it's only $10 million a year. New shows are featuring the likes of, hold on, here we go, Ellen DeGeneres, Samantha Bee, and Wonder Woman, which obviously there's a lot of she's there. I'm not exactly sure what that means.
I don't know what it means either. What are they talking about?
I don't understand it. So Snap's going to have, are they going to have, I don't know. They're going to create short.
Are they going to do movies?
I don't know. This short TV episode, 10 original.
Short TV where Wonder Woman or Samantha Bee comes out, she got a dog face on.
I don't know.
And then within a few minutes, it goes away. You can't see it anymore. You got to shake your device wondering where the movie went. I'm not getting any of this.
I don't understand it either. It says that Time Warner's Turner Cable Channels and the Warner Brothers Studio will create up to 10 original shows a year for the ephemeral messaging app in genres.
They're really taking this a little too seriously that people really, I mean, yeah, I could, you can watch a few videos on these little devices. It doesn't kill you, but do they really think people are going to flock to the device to watch videos when they have televisions at home usually, or they have cut the cable, but they still have a couple of screens they use as opposed to walking around. Oh, snap. I'm going to watch the new Wonder Woman short with Ellen DeGeneres on Snap.
And that's, by the way, the other thing is, you know, when you have, for example, you know how Twitter came out with the NFL? Well, you could watch that on your phone or you could watch it online. Snap doesn't have an online presence. It's only the app. So obviously screen size is an issue there.
I'll tell you, when you watch a football game, if you imagine it on a little phone, you're missing a lot.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You need a good 65-inch Sony like I have. That's the best. Love it. Now the other thing that happened today, and then, by the way, on the news that Snap is creating the Wonder Woman Samantha Bee Ellen DeGeneres something or others. This stock was up like 4.5%, came back down and closed up about 2% at about 1760 or so. And then a report came out today, smacking them right in the face again, that Facebook's Instagram stories, which is pretty much the ripoff of Snap, has now 250 million active daily users. So Snap was down 4% today, back down again. What a piece of crap. If it does, in fact, here's what's going to happen.
At least they're showing signs of creativity.
Yeah, no matter how off base they are on it. But yes, but isn't this kind of what Twitter did as a Hail Mary? They started getting programming. I mean, this is, but they did it like years when they were failing. Snap seems to be doing it immediately, figuring, well, we're failing. You know, let's fast pace this whole deal. But what's interesting is if this stock breaks 17, it's going down. Let's just say that. We're moving. Let's see. We could talk about this political data gathered. I don't know if you saw this story, but about 198 million U.S. citizens' information was exposed after a marketing firm contracted by the RNC, the Republican National Committee, stored internal documents on a publicly accessible Amazon server.
Yeah, I sure couldn't get a hold of any of this stuff. A great mailing list.
198 million citizens. We have like 350 million citizens here.
Yeah, but the question is, what have you seen a dump of any of this data? What was incorporated?
I did see some of it. Some of it was, well, there was amassed from various sources, from the banned subreddit, Fat Hate People subedit, subcategory.
Subreddit.
Yeah, subreddit. To American Crossroads, the Super PAC, and there was things like birthdays, phone numbers, advanced sentiment analysis used by political groups to predict where individuals' voters fall on hot button issues, such as gun ownership, stem cell research, the right to abortion, as well as suspected religious affiliation and ethnicity.
Where's this download now?
I don't know. It's somebody has. I saw some sample, like Excel spreadsheets, and I saw some XML dumps, and I saw a few other things. You could probably hunt around and find it.
I don't know. It sounds like you can, but then when you try, you never find it.
Yeah. Let's see here.
I mean, it would be a dynamite thing to do a mailing to.
Yeah, of course.
Seems to me.
Naturally. The White House looks like, unfortunately, Sean Spicer is going to be moving to a senior, this is a report that he's going to be moving to a more senior role focused on strategy and bringing in a new spokesman for the president. So I think this is spinning on the phrase, you're fired.
Yeah, only he's going to go to a senior position of a window opener.
Now, I think there's some justice in this. The head of the Michigan's health department has been charged with involuntary manslaughter stemming from his role in the Flint water crisis. Health and Human Services Director Nick Lyon is among two high-ranking officials charged in the fourth round of criminal charges brought in connection with the Flint matter. Yeehaw!
I think they should bring some people in from the EPA while they're at it and throw them in the slammer.
Yeah. But at least there's some, I mean, you can't put anybody that's a banker or in the financial institutions that totally rip people off in jail. But somehow, I mean, this is just as, I think, just as justifiable.
Yeah.
To do so. But
it's still just some government schlub.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Let's see. If you want to follow John C. Dvorak on Twitter, it's The Real Dvorak. Myself, Andrew Horowitz. Of course, you could donate. We're not going to press you on that. We'll see. If I don't say anything about it, maybe we'll get more money. And by the way, you know, you can give money just to let you know. It's fun. Fun activity.
It is.
Yeah. You should do it. It just sometimes, if you know, you guys out there, if you want to anger your wife, you should give a really big donation.
Yeah.
We have,
if you're getting divorced and you're going to be splitting it up anyway.
Right.
Send some our way.
Yeah, we'll hold it on the side for you until it's all done. The closest to the pin competition, Bitcoin. Now, did you watch Bitcoin last week?
I gave up.
Bitcoin was as high as about, give or take a little bit, 2,900.
Right.
Maybe even went over 3,000. Anyway, it was as low as like 2,100. It went to 20.
It's unbelievable. If you really knew what was going on, you could make a fortune just playing this thing up and down.
Mm-hmm.
I came pretty close, I thought.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I was for about a day there. I was, first of all, it was at 2,900. I'm like, I didn't get close. Then it goes to 2,100. I'm like, oh my God, I'm not close again. You know, like it's going to tank. And then we both finished. You finished about 3% off at a guess of 2,555. I was at 2,375. I was a good almost 200 points lower than you. Pretty much split the two of us, and we would have hit right on. 2,476 was the final stock price. The average entry from all of the listeners who put in their entries was 2,250. So they were a little bit further off. But the one the winner was Kyle B, who came in at $24.69, only $7 away, and that's pretty good.
Might as well nailed it.
Yeah, that's good. You know that's close. Victor M was the second runner up, which gives him absolutely nothing, but we do give him a mention of $24.57. I think it was about almost about a percent away. The other thing is that the winner is getting a one-of-a-kind DH Unplugged t-shirt and a beautiful and a very special certificate claiming his win. So there
I
you
wonder
go.
If he knows something we don't know, because that is an awfully close shot.
Maybe.
Well, if he does, clue us in.
Yeah, clue us in. Let's see. We're coming up on a few things. So many things. Let's start with the leftovers. Because otherwise we're going to have things going on. And then we got to get to this Elon Musk story, Elon Musk of Tesla. But we had some leftovers that were coming. The NBA champs Warriors, of course, that was last week. Is this a true story that they're not going to make the traditional White House trip?
Yeah, my understanding is they took a vote and the team says, yeah, we don't want to go there.
Hmm.
Well, for one thing, the Warriors are headquartered in Oakland, California, which is a notorious area for hating Republicans in general. And that doesn't mean that it's a good idea. I think it's a bad idea for them to do this, but they decided to bag the whole thing because of their base of support is all a bunch of Trump haters.
Hmm. So,
and I guess the team is too. I mean,
so now we have
Steve Kerr is a Trump hater, and Curry seems to be one, and a couple other guys, I'm sure.
So this is their not standing for the national anthem.
I guess. Well, actually, it seems to me it's something else. Again, my wife pointed this out. She said, you think Trump would even invite them? I don't see him as being a basketball fan or baseball for that matter. He's a golfer. And the last guy we had in the office, which was just a golfer, but he could shoot hoops, which was Obama. Obama couldn't throw a baseball. He threw like a girl. It was embarrassing to watch.
Hmm.
So I think the days are over for these events. These are fake publicity stunts anyway. What's the point?
Yeah, we'll see.
I thought it was rude personally, but it's okay.
I think it's kind of rude also. You know, I saw a car I was driving by, and you know, whether or not you're a fan or not of one side or the other, you know, this not my president thing. You know, I guess we just all got to be in a big pissing match all the time.
Seems so.
Yeah. Education, is it getting a bad rap? There's a new apprenticeship program that's being pushed by Trump. I think he's just trying to say the word apprenticeship, by the way. You know, the apprentice.
Oh, that, you know, I didn't catch that joke. You're right.
Of course.
I never thought of the word apprentice because he had the TV show, The Apprentice. Yeah. And so he keeps saying the apprenticeship program. Yeah. Very funny.
Yeah. I think that's what's going on.
I don't know why, but it's crazy. I missed that.
Yeah. So there's a study that millennials are earning 20% less than boomers did which is a medium household income of $49,500 at the same age in life.
Yeah, makes sense.
And it might beg the question, is education creating so much debt for young people that, you know, is it even worth it? So I think that there's some big issue that's going on there. And I'm not quite sure. I know that you had a discussion about this last weekend about the difference between an apprenticeship and an internship. And by the way, you are right. An internship.
What did I say?
Well, that an internship is free. You know, the idea was that told to you that, an internship is free and an apprenticeship is paid. An internship, I can tell you this very clearly, and is the way that I look at it. It's a paid requirement for the most part in many different college undergrad programs that you have an internship that you get prepared for the next stage. It also gives you some good things on your resume. An apprenticeship is kind of after the fact as you're studying for a particular job. Very similar, but it's kind of after college, or it's not with college. It's the original apprenticeships were, I always think of blacksmiths. You know, you have an apprenticeship at a blacksmith. I don't know why I think that, but I'm just telling you. So, you know, you learn on the job training, let's call it that way. An apprenticeship is an on-the-job training kind of program where you don't have to have a prerequisite to actually do it. Slightly different than an internship. Yes, some internships can be free, but these days, like you mentioned, that if you have a free internship, you can be sued.
Yes, it happens a lot.
Right. So, you know, the employer. So the apprenticeship is kind of a guiding process through a specific profession and a specific job that you will become schooled in. It's kind of an education in that job without having a formal college education behind it. That's what an apprenticeship is kind of designed to be.
Yeah. Well, internships can serve that same exact function.
They can. But those are usually tied to college. An apprenticeship doesn't necessarily need college.
Yes, generally. I think you're right. But you get into a company. Yeah, you're probably in college or just graduate. You get into a company to be a video editor, let's say. Mm-hmm. You can come in as an intern and be kind of shown how to do it right and some tips and tricks. And then pretty soon you become a video editor. And then pretty soon the company hires you if you're not a loser.
Yeah. We'll leave a few things to the next show, talking about the global warming that seems to exist in Phoenix and Martin Schrenkel's request to reduce his bail. Remember that guy. But we do have to talk about very quickly before we get to the stocks. I think we need to talk about the recent comments from Elon Musk, where he believes that the Earth is doomed and will be uninhabitable in years to come. And this is why he's putting a lot of his wealth into a spaceship that can get us to Mars. That's the story.
Yeah. Now, yeah, Mars is so much nicer than Earth.
And isn't Mars uninhabitable?
Yeah. There's no oxygen. It's horrible. And it's just dust.
I don't understand.
He's nuts, that guy. It's a publicity stunt for something. I don't know what. He's you know. He says he wants to die on Mars, and I said, well, let's start a government program right now and get him off the Earth.
I just don't understand.
See how he does.
If I mean, first of all, the Earth at least has the basics. Even if we lose 5 degrees on the Earth and we get somewhat of an ice age, I think the average temperature on Mars is like -60, or some ridiculously cold on part of it, or something. Is it Mars colder than us, or is it hotter than us? It's one or the other.
I don't remember.
What, is it close to the sun? It's close to the sun.
So it's hotter. No, it's not. Hot. It's not closer to the sun.
It's one away. And Mars, yeah. Venus. That was not my strong suit. All right, ask me about finance. Not a strong suit.
So you start with Mercury, then you go to Venus, then you go to Earth, then you go to Mars. Mars,
right. So it's colder. It's -60 degrees at least on the downside. So, and like you said, there's no water. There's no life. It's bad. And it's red. You saw what happened to Arnold Schwarzenegger when he was in that movie Mission to Mars or whatever it was called. And that when he was put out, and his face imploded. Remember, his eyeballs popped out of his head. Yeah. All right. Let's get over to the stocks. Take a look at that. This is a game that we play. It's not a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Make sure to take a look, by the way, at DH Unplugged this week. You got to see the album art that we created for this. And the show is titled "Ship Free or Die," which is pretty much seems to be the Amazon slogan. But we're going to talk about some of the stocks here. And of course, not a recommendation to buy or sell anything. And if you decide for whatever reason that you want to utilize any of these stock ideas, please do your own research. We are not responsible for your losses, only kudos for the gains. And John C. Dvorak, myself, or Horowitz and Company clients may own any of these securities. We will note those in the disclosure page. You can find all of this on DH Unplugged. It's a live and streaming and up-to-date spreadsheet kind of a table that shows the gains and losses, how much is it up, what's on the list, what's off the list, because we usually use 10% trailing stops unless we otherwise discuss it. Why don't you go through the list, and we had a few things came off.
Yes, indeed, in fact. The list is kind of green on the bottom. There's still some crap at the top that doesn't look good except for Barclays, which it came off, unfortunately, due to a bounce. So you put that back on. We'll leave it off. It was there since 628
almost a
last
year.
Almost a whole year. Almost a year. We have yet to get one to last a year.
This is a trading game, though.
Yes. We got Gilead short is up. The Campbell Soup is apparently is backed off a little bit. We're down 370.370. Wells Fargo, a buy, is barely up. But we got some big ones here. Twilio, this is the long shot bounce. It's up 12%. Cara Therapeutics, another one of yours, 22.34% up. The ETF from Drexion Nugget is kind of nothing.
It's out.
It's got bounced, yeah. CSX, their train company, is up a little bit. Straight Path Communications, a short from you, I believe, is up 23%. That's a big winner. And then the other big winner, which has also been bounced, but after a huge gain, which is your shorting the Bitcoin Investment Trust, up 37%, which I seriously doubt could actually have been done in the real world. This is one of those things. This is one of the things, by the way, I should mention, which I really hate, like when students are like trained about the stock market, how to buy and sell, they're never given real world. They just do it on a piece of paper. It's not the same as actually going out there and doing it.
I will tell you that I'll give you the exactly what happened here. I did finally locate shares. I was going to personally short this. And what happened is that the borrow rate was 60%.
Yeah. Yeah, it's impractical.
It wasn't, though. If you think about it, we only held this for about a week and a half. I would have only paid about 6% on this, maybe 5%.
Well, maybe.
So, but if you held it any longer, you start eating into your capital with that kind of borrow rate, and that's because of the liquidity issue. Yeah,
it has to be a quick turnaround.
Yep, exactly. But that was a 200-point gainer. 200 points. 200 points. Still got another shot of this to get located.
Unbelievable.
So I have one for, I actually teased this on Twitter earlier. I put a little guessing game out of what it was going to be. It is going to be Tesla, $372 up a lot the last few days.
Yeah, you're shorting it.
I'm shorting Tesla.
I played this game with Tesla a couple of times.
Yeah.
It's never worked out for me.
We'll see. I don't know if it's ever worked out ever on this game, but it just seems that it's just gone up parabolically lately, and
it's bad.
Yeah.
It's way too high. But you know, what are you going to do? The market's not showing any signs of weakness in that regard.
That's true. But after he made those Mars comments, I had to say, maybe it's time here.
Mars.
What do you got?
Well, I have one. This is ALXN, the pharmaceutical company.
Alexion.
I don't think I have one of those on there anymore. So I'll go with this one. And the only reason I'm going with this one, because of huge $156 million, a $77 million buy the Baker Brothers.
Oh.
And so I get on their coattails.
That's a good company. It's been a good company. I mean, it had some of its major problems recently, like a lot of the pharmaceuticals, but that's a good company. They have some good product.
Yeah, and I figure I'm going to go on the coattails of the Baker Brothers. And they got my attention, and sitting there, a nice price. I think it would be worth to see what happens. And it is a good company, I agree.
Baker Brothers, got it.
That'll be that.
JCD, pick. Anything you want to plug? Like, for example, what you're writing for PC Magazine?
What am I writing for PC Magazine? It's funny that you should mention it, because I said to myself, after I finished the column, I said, I got to remember what this was so I can plug it. But of course, because I didn't bring a little sheet of paper. Wait a minute, I did. I did bring a sheet of paper over here. Yeah, I wrote about customer service and how it sucks.
Just the whole customer service, everything, all of them.
I talked about good customer service and bad customer service, but how the high tech companies, they just make all this money. And then I finally, at the end of the column, I blame it on AT&T. AT&T, which has got some of the worst, traditionally has terrible customer service, and they thrive as the number one provider of cell phone subscribers. And all they did was prove it to everybody else that customer services doesn't – nobody cares. You can be the worst company in the world. You can have the worst customer service, and you'll thrive.
I think some people actually like that.
Following.
I think people sometimes like getting beat up. You know, there's certain, like, you know, like the soup Nazi in New York, or there's some restaurants that, you know, say, get you know, we don't serve your kind. Oh, tell me more bad things. I love it.
Serve your kind.
You know?
I think that's to just get a restaurant called We Don't Serve Your Kind.
No, but seriously, so you're basically saying that AT&T has taught the rest of the business world to not only not to strive for good customer service, but do what they can to have poor customer service.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Huh. That seems like a little bit of a stretch.
Well, everything's a stretch, but I'm telling you, if you think about it, how come these guys are doing so well?
So there's a
you got companies. Google's another good example of a company with poor customer service. They won't even, you can't, if you're a journalist, they'll never talk to you.
Well, my favorite thing is when you have the contact us page and it like goes nowhere. You know, contact
us. Oh yeah, the contact us page, or there's just a form you fill out.
Yeah, just a form. No information about where they are, who they are. Yeah, nothing.
No
about them.
Names, no numbers, no right. You don't know where they're located. You don't know who's in charge of anything. It's just a. You fill it out. What do you want?
Yeah, and hopefully we'll. Thank you. We'll get back to you soon.
Yeah, that's about right.
Yep. All right. Well, we'll talk.
And by the way, I do want to say, since we're talking about this, I actually like PayPal and their customer service.
Ah.
I've had good luck with PayPal, and I've actually had good luck with Comcast, even though they're mentioned as one of the worst.
You know, it's funny you mention that. I've had always good experience with Comcast, but PayPal, I agree. We've actually, you can actually not only talk to them, but they're very responsive. Maybe it has to do with money. You know, the money, because it's money.
Maybe.
They're
but
very
I think,
responsive.
I think who's ever, generally speaking, when you have something like that, it's someone. There's a person they hired. They were obviously maybe not doing as well before. They hired some expert on customer service. They put him in charge or her in charge. And they kick butt. They do a lot of surveys. And these people really try to help you as best they can and do a bang-up job. Here's an example, just not to bore everybody stiff, but here's an example. One of my accounts was locked because I use VPNs and they saw a bad IP address or something coming through and they locked the account, thinking it's a criminal. And so I had to get the thing back up and running. And so this woman, you know, was helping me to get it done. And right all of a sudden, we got disconnected.
Mm.
Now, she had called me because it was one of those, oh, wait, you know, you don't have to wait. We'll call you back. It's going to be about 10 minutes. And so you give them the number and they call you back and that works. But this time I got hung up on. So I don't know what her number is. I don't know anything. And so about, I'd say 7 minutes later, she calls me back, but not from the same old number, which apparently is handled by a computer. She actually remembered my name and go because she was doing, and she looked up my other accounts and found my phone number. She went through that much trouble.
Oh, very nice.
I was very impressed.
So we should short PayPal. Isn't that
right? If we're going to go by the AT&T theory.
Right. Short PayPal, because they have short PayPal. We have good customer service.
Yeah. Well, that's theoretically. Yeah.
All right. Well, I will talk to you next week, sir.
Okay, see you then.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.